Today is the 12th day of January. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I'm Brian. It's great to be here with you. Great to gather again around the global campfire together. In the wintertime, I realize those of you in the Southern Hemisphere are experiencing summertime. It's always strange to me, but I know that's the truth. Here in the Northern Hemisphere, it's, you know, January, it's wintertime, so... those of you in the Southern Hemisphere, like around a nice summertime, you know, campfire camping. Here in the Northern Hemisphere, it's like we're all bundled together here, keeping warm. But campfires are good, no matter what. So grateful to be around the global campfire today to take the next step forward as we continue forward now in the book of Genesis. So we went through all of the creation story and all of those chapters through the flood, through all of that, met a man named Abram who became Abraham, and then things have slowed down. And so now we are focusing on this family. It begins with the patriarch, Abraham, because that is the story of the rest of the Bible, pretty much, this family. So Abraham and Sarah, his wife, have both died now. They are buried in this cave, the cave of Machpelah, which is near Hebron. Actually, until this very day, Hebron, there's this, the cave of Machpelah, and this burial place still exists. And now we are moving into the next generation, the generation of the son of promise, Isaac. So let's jump in. Genesis chapter 26, verse 17 through 27, verse 46 today. So Isaac moved away from there, camped in the valley of Arar, and lived there. Isaac dug out again the wells that were dug during the lifetime of his father Abraham. The Philistines had closed them up after Abraham's death. Isaac gave them the same names his father had given them. Isaac's servants dug wells in the valley and found a well there with fresh water. Isaac's shepherds argued with Arar's shepherds, each claiming, "This is our water." So Isaac named the well Esek, because they quarreled with him. They dug another well and argued about it too, so he named it Sitna. He left there and dug another well, but they didn't argue about it, so he named it Rehoboth and said, "Now the Lord has made an open space for us and has made us fertile in the land." Then he went up from Harar to Beersheba. The Lord appeared to him that night and said, "I am the God of your father Abraham. Don't be afraid because I am with you. I will bless you, and I will give you many children for my servant Abraham's sake." So Isaac built an altar there and worshipped in the Lord's name. Isaac pitched his tent there, and his servants dug a well. But Abimelech set out toward him from Harar, with Azuzot, his ally, and Phicol, the commander of his forces. Isaac said to him, "Why have you come after me? You resented me and sent me away from you." They said, "We now see that the Lord was with you. We propose that there be a formal agreement between us and that we draw up a treaty with you. You must not treat us badly since we haven't harmed you and since we have treated you well at all times. Then we will send you away peacefully, for you are now blessed by the Lord." Isaac prepared a banquet for them, and they ate and drank. They got up early in the morning, and they gave each other their word. And Isaac sent them off, and they left peacefully. That day, Isaac's servants informed him about the well they had been digging and said to him, "We found water." He called it Sheba. Therefore, the city's name has been Beersheba until today. When Esau was 40 years old, he married Judith, daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and Basemath, daughter of Elon the Hittite. They made life very difficult for Isaac and Rebecca. When Isaac had grown old and his eyesight was failing, he summoned his older son Esau and said to him, "My son." And Esau said, "I'm here." He said, "I'm old and don't know when I will die. So now, take your hunting gear, your bow and quiver of arrows, go out to the field and hunt game for me. Make me the delicious food that I love and bring it to me so I can eat. Then I can bless you before I die." Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to his son Esau. When Esau went to the field to hunt game to bring back, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, "I just heard your father saying to your brother Esau, 'Bring me some game and make me some delicious food so I can eat, and I will bless you in the Lord's presence before I die.' Now, my son, listen to me, to what I'm telling you to do. Go to the flock and get me 2 healthy young goats so I can prepare them as the delicious food your father loves. You can bring it to your father, he will eat, and then he will bless you before he dies." Jacob said to his mother Rebekah, "My brother Esau is a hairy man, but I have smooth skin. What if my father touches me and thinks I'm making fun of him? I will be cursed instead of blessed." His mother said to him, "Your curse will be on me, my son. Just listen to me. Go and get them for me." So he went and got them and brought them to his mother, and his mother made the delicious food that his father loved. Rebekah took her older son Esau's favorite clothes that were in the house with her, and she put them on her younger son Jacob. On his arms and smooth neck she put the hide of young goats, and the delicious food and the bread she had made she put into her son's hands. Jacob went to his father and said, "My father." And he said, "I'm here. Who are you, my son?" Jacob said to his father, "I'm Esau, your oldest son. I've made what you asked me to. Sit up and eat some of the game so you can bless me." Isaac said to his son, "How could you find this so quickly, my son?" He said, "The Lord your God led me right to it." Isaac said to Jacob, "Come here and let me touch you, my son. Are you my son Esau or not?" So Jacob approached his father Isaac, and Isaac touched him and said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the arms are Esau's arms." Isaac didn't recognize him because his arms were hairy like Esau's arms. So he blessed him. Isaac said, "Are you really my son Esau?" And he said, "I am." Isaac said, "Bring some food here and let me eat some of my son's game so I can bless you." Jacob put it before him and he ate. Then he brought him wine and he drank. His father Isaac said to him, "Come here and kiss me, my son." So he came close and kissed him. When Isaac smelled the scent of his clothes, he blessed him. "See, the scent of my son is like the scent of the field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you showers from the sky, olive oil from the earth, plenty of grain and new wine. May the nations serve you. May peoples bow down to you. Be the most powerful man among your brothers. And may your mother's sons bow down to you. Those who curse you will be cursed, and those who bless you will be blessed." After Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, and just as Jacob left his father Isaac, his brother Esau came back from his hunt. He too made some delicious food, brought it to his father, and said, "Let my father sit up and eat from his son's game, so that you may bless me." His father Isaac said to him, "Who are you?" And he said, "I'm your son, your oldest son, Esau." Isaac was so shocked that he trembled violently. He said, "Who was the hunter just here with the game? He brought me food and I ate all of it before you came. I blessed him, and he will stay blessed." When Esau heard what his father said, he let out a long, agonizing cry and wept bitterly. He said to his father, "Bless me too, my father." Isaac said, "Your brother has already come deceitfully and has taken your blessing." Esau said, "Isn't this why he's called Jacob? He's taken me twice now. He took my birthright, and now he's taken my blessing." He continued, "Haven't you saved a blessing from me?" Isaac replied to Esau, "I've already made him more powerful than you, and I've made all of his brothers his servants. I've made him strong with grain and wine. What can I do for you, my son?" Esau said to his father, "Do you really have only one blessing, father? Bless me too, my father." And Esau wept loudly. His father Isaac responded and said to him, "Now you will make a home far away from the olive groves of the earth, far away from the showers of the sky above. You will live by your sword. You will serve your brother. But when you grow restless, you will tear away his harness from your neck." Esau was furious at Jacob because his father had blessed him. And Esau said to himself, "When the period of mourning for the death of my father is over, I will kill my brother." Rebekah was told what her older son Esau was planning. So she summoned her younger son Jacob and said to him, "Esau, your brother is planning revenge. He plans to kill you. So now, my son, listen to me. Get up and escape to my brother Laban in Haran. Live with him for a short while until your brother's rage subsides, until your brother's anger at you goes away and he forgets what you did to him. Then I will send for you and bring you back from there. Why should I suffer the loss of both of you on one day?" Rebekah then said to Isaac, "I really loathe these Hittite women. If Jacob marries one of the Hittite women, like the women of this land, why should I go on living?" Matthew 9, 1 through 17. Boarding a boat, Jesus crossed to the other side of the lake and went to his own city. People brought to him a man who was paralyzed, lying on a cot. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the man who was paralyzed, "Be encouraged, my child. Your sins are forgiven." Some legal experts said among themselves, "This man is insulting God." But Jesus knew what they were thinking and said, "Why do you fill your minds with evil things? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say, get up and walk? But so you will know that the human one has authority on the earth to forgive sins," he said to the man who was paralyzed, "get up, take your cot, and go home." The man got up and went home. When the crowds saw what had happened, they were afraid and praised God, who had given such authority to human beings. As Jesus continued on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at a kiosk for collecting taxes. He said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. As Jesus sat down to eat in Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners joined Jesus and his disciples at the table. But when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? When Jesus heard it, he said, Healthy people don't need a doctor, but sick people do. Go and learn what this means. I want mercy and not sacrifice. I didn't come to call righteous people, but sinners. At that time, John's disciples came and asked Jesus, Why do we and the Pharisees frequently fast, but your disciples never fast? Jesus responded, The wedding guests can't mourn while the groom is still with them, can they? But the days will come when the groom will be taken away from them, and then they'll fast. No one sews a piece of new, unshrunk cloth on old clothes, because the patch tears away the cloth and makes a worse tear. No one pours new wine into old wineskins. If they did, the wineskins would burst, the wine would spill, and the wineskins would be ruined. Instead, people pour new wine into new wineskins so that both are kept safe. Psalm 10, 16 through 18. The Lord rules forever and always. The nations will vanish from his land. Lord, you listen to the desires of those who suffer. You steady their hearts. You listen closely to them to establish justice for the orphan and the oppressed, so that people of the land will never again be terrified. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will burst with wine. Okay, so in Genesis, Isaac now is obviously aging. So this is the next generation after Abraham. And the grandchildren of Abraham, Jacob and Esau, are emerging. Isaac is aging and losing his eyesight. And so the tension foretold by God between Jacob and Esau was on very vivid colored display. In today's Old Testament reading, we saw a generous amount of trickery between the brothers and some collusion. Esau had previously sold Jacob his birthright for a bowl of stew, but in today's reading, Rebekah and Jacob conspired to get the final blessing of Isaac before his death, and they succeeded. Everything did not go well for Jacob after this, though. He got the blessing, but he got a lot of animosity, and he had to go on the run from Esau's rage, fleeing back toward his ancestral homeland. And so in the process, he missed the later years of his father's life and the love and comfort of his home and his mother. And as we will see, this cunning, this trickery of Jacob, well, I mean, Rebecca's in collusion with this, but now Jacob is back with his mother's family. And we see that it's like a family trait. And we will see that going forward because Jacob, well, he's going to have to face this from the other side. And we'll see that as the story unfolds. Meanwhile, in Matthew, Jesus has a confrontation of his own. He tells this person, be encouraged, your sins are forgiven. This is a man that was paralyzed who had been brought before him hoping to be healed. But this proclamation of forgiveness of sins, this set the teachers of the religious law, the Pharisees, this set them off because that sounds like blasphemy. If you exalt yourself or someone exalts themselves into the position of God, that is blasphemy. And in this case, Jesus is claiming to be able to forgive sins, something only God can do. And so Jesus is exalting himself into this position. This is blasphemy. And so they accuse him of this. And that's one of the most grievous offenses possible, punishable by death. Despite this, he healed the man right in front of them, saying, "So, like, tell me, is it easier to say your sins are forgiven, or is it easier to say stand up and walk? I'll just show you that I have this authority. We'll say both." This kind of behavior, I mean, we watch this as miraculous, and from the way we read it and the way we understand and love Jesus, we feel like he's being kind of persecuted here. But it is this kind of confrontational, like subversive behavior that eventually turns the religious establishment against Jesus. And this ultimately becomes the grounds for sentencing him to death. Jesus just didn't have a lot of tolerance for hypocrisy. And we see that in many different confrontations that he has of this nature. But if we're watching now, I mean, we're just getting going, but we're far enough into this to see that Jesus, he always enters directly into the story behind the story, right into a person's story. He's more than willing to buck tradition, buck the system to get to the heart of a person's story. So after healing this paralyzed man, he meets a man named Matthew, who this gospel is named after. And the people of Israel detested Matthew because he was a tax collector. And I think we've talked about this already. I mean, basically, Rome is the empire. Rome is the like federal government here, and taxes are to be paid. And collecting taxes, like, this isn't like just a federal office. To be able to collect the taxes, wealthy people can buy the right to collect taxes on behalf of the government, and then they can get a cut. And those people who have the rights to collect taxes then hire other people to go do the dirty work and get the money. Matthew's one of those people. He's doing the dirty work of going and getting the money. He's collecting taxes. He is a Jew, a Hebrew, who is working for somebody who has the right to collect taxes on behalf of the federal government. And his job is to go get the money from other Hebrews. And so they hate him for this. He's a traitor. It's like extortion. But it's a good job for Matthew and makes him wealthy in the process. Jesus ends up at his house with other tax collectors. And so these Pharisees, the religious leaders, are watching this going, "Why does your teacher eat with this, with sinners, with scum?" I guess if we're honest, probably can look at this and see it pretty clearly for what it is. If we're going to let it be a mirror, though, we'll have to also allow the truth to reveal itself to us that in ways we've held similar attitudes. The Pharisees pride themselves on avoiding interactions with sinners, with staying away from these people with bad reputations. Sometimes so do we. Jesus never did that. He always found the plot behind the story in a person's life. There's a reason they have this reputation. There's a reason. What's the story behind the story? Because this is a person who is broken. Healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people need a doctor, Jesus told them. And then he told them, go learn the meaning of this scripture. I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifices. I've come to call not those who think they're righteous, but those who know they're sinners. If the Pharisees would have paid attention to Jesus' words, it would have been a mirror into their own souls. They would have discovered that they weren't as healthy as they were making their appearance to be. Before we judge them, we have to do the same thing and examine our own lives, because we are nowhere near as strong spiritually or healthy as we are presenting ourselves to be. And so to protect their power and their tradition, they begin to collude on how to kill Jesus. I guess, if anything, that is not the narrow path that leads to life. But these were the devout and religious people trying to follow God and conspiring against God. Man, if we would let that be a mirror. We would catch ourselves in the same thing. So for Jesus and us, avoiding sinners is not going to make us sinless. That's not what's going to do it. Jesus found community among those who were clear that they needed help. And so often we're presenting a false image that is impenetrable. So may we consider the ways that we are the Pharisees in this story. And that will lead us to the necessary things that we need to consider and the fundamental shift in mind and repentance that will need to take place so that change can come. Because if our pursuit is to be like Jesus, we're not going to grow in that direction if we're not being like Jesus. If our energy is spent curating an image and judging others and pretending to be something we're not. So Father, we invite you into that. The Bible is going to go after these things. And we have to be willing to see ourselves in them. So easy for us to see everybody else in all of this. So easy to read ourselves into this story that we would be the hero of the story, or that we would be lockstep with you and not the hypocrisy that is revealed that each of us carry. Some of it handed to us by the imprinting from our family systems. Some of it coerced out of us because we have to fit into a culture. Some of it because we're hiding in shame. Some of it because we just don't know any better. We open ourselves. We want to change. And that will only happen when we recognize the need to change and keep our eyes and ears open, catching ourselves in the places that we are refusing. Holy Spirit, lead us into all truth, the truth of ourselves. Repair us, we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com and the Daily Audio Bible app are home base. And that is primarily where to get connected and stay connected to the journey we are on. The app will allow you to do a lot of things. And soon enough, we'll be moving into a brand new space in the app world. But you can keep track of where you are, take notes. When we cross through the different seasons and portions of scripture, we're rewarded with a badge telling us, yeah, you've completed the Torah or you've completed the Gospels, and kind of keeps us moving. We can see what percentages are completed and where we are on the journey. So be sure to check out the Daily Audio Bible app, even as we prepare to move forward into a new app very soon. Check out the Daily Audio Bible shop. While you are checking out, there are resources there for the journey that we are on. A number of different written resources to take deeper dives into some deeper topics. There is the God of Your Story, which is a written version of what we do here every day, reflecting upon the scriptures laid out in the way that we read through the Bible every year. And so it is a wonderful companion to what we're doing here day by day and step by step. So if you're ever like out of internet connectivity, or you're on vacation or whatever, and you're going to just unplug, but you're going to continue the journey through the Bible and just read, the God of Your Story is that companion to continue to reflect on the portions of scripture that we're reading. Or it's just a great companion if, you know, if you listen in the morning and then just kind of move through that section in the evening, just locking these things that the Bible is revealing into our hearts is a fantastic thing to do. So that is available in the Daily Audio Bible Shop. There are a couple of other ones. Reframe, From the God We've Made to God With Us, is a book that I published a few years ago, and it is a deep dive that I needed to take, because I have grown up being told that we have a relationship with God, and we talk about that. It's ubiquitous. We just, you know, we talk about it, our relationship with God. What are we even talking about? What does it even mean to be in a relationship with God? And that is a book that is a deep exploration of the implications of what it means to be in a relationship with God. And there's also Sneezing Jesus, How God Redeems Our Humanity, How God Came in the Flesh of a Human God to reveal to us what humanity, our humanity, what we are, who we are, what we can be. It's kind of my love story. And my love story, as I try to pull out the nuances of the personality and the person of Jesus. And so check those out. Take those deep dives as we continue this journey, and may they enrich your life and your journey, as they have over the years for all of us. They are available in the Daily Audio Bible shop. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, if what we're doing here around the global campfire brings life and light and good news into your world, thank you humbly, profoundly, gratefully, honestly for your partnership. The campfire is here. We are here because we're in this together. That is how we have managed to be here 20 years, and so thank you for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I am Brian. I love you, and I will be waiting for you here tomorrow.
This is Laquita from Vanita. I just wanted to pray for Janice. I could just hear the fear in her voice when she put in her prayer request. And Father, I just lift up Janice to you right now. Father God, and I pray that you cover her with the anointing of your Holy Spirit, Lord God. I pray that you give her such peace and assurance, Father God, as she gets ready to go through this time of treatment. And I just pray, Father God, that when she's there, Father God, that she would look for others, Lord, that might need to hear her testimony or hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, God always has a plan for our lives. He's not surprised by the path that we go down, Father. And I just pray in Jesus' name that she will just lock in with someone, Lord, that needs to hear about your love and your mercy, Lord. And let this not just be a time of fear for her, and let it be a time of life, to give life to someone else, to share her love for you, Lord Jesus. Let her be that light in the darkness, Father God, to bring peace to others around her, Father God. Lord, don't let the enemy let fear overtake her, or the just give her that reassurance that she needs in Jesus' name.
Hi, family. This is his little Cherie in Canada. I haven't listened to the community prayer in a long time, but I'm listening to it this week. And I heard Teresa from East Tennessee call in for her son, Matthew. And Teresa, thank you so much for calling in. I can imagine how you're feeling, because I have a son. And a mother's heart is just so easily burdened for their kids. And your son is going through a terrible time in prison. He suffers with a brain injury and mental illness, and you're really frightened for him. And I'm praying for him, for Matthew, and also for you, Teresa, that God's will would be done, and that God would be your champion and your son's champion. I just pray for Matthew that he would be protected and your heart would be comforted, that this situation would draw you both closer to Jesus. I don't know where Matthew's at with faith, but I just pray that he would call out for help to God and that God would answer him. I also heard Susan, God's yellow flower. Susan, my friend, I heard your request for your daughter, who has just been diagnosed with the genetic form of blindness that the doctors assured you that your kids wouldn't get it, but now she's been diagnosed with it. So praying for your daughter, Susan, praying for you, praying for God's mercy for both of you. Your family's been through so much. And just praying that he would get what he wants for both of you, that every good thing that he wants for you would be given to you, overflowing. So I love you guys. Thank you. I'm still listening. Bye for now.
Hi, DAB family. This is Resting in God's Shadow. I just listened to the December 23rd podcast, so I'm very behind. It's currently January 6th, but a mother's love, I believe, is what she went by, called in for her son, who is currently brought up on some very serious charges and, I believe, imprisoned. She is asking, obviously, for us to lift him up to the throne of mercy. So, Heavenly Father, our great, great, merciful, just Father, I lift this gentleman up to you, JR. Forgive me if I got his name wrong, but I believe you said JR, up to your throne of mercy, Heavenly Father. I am praying, Yeshua, that you touch him, that you meet him where he is at, that he has a divine encounter with you, that you touch his heart so mightily that he has no idea what is happening and is able to do nothing but to surrender to you, to give in to you, to come to you and sit at your feet and say, I am your son, you have your way. Heavenly Father, I pray that your will is done in this situation. I pray that your mercy and your grace reign over this situation, Heavenly Father. And I pray that he turns to you and he gives his life to you. I thank you so much for the father that you are and for what you're doing. And I pray peace over this mama's heart. I just can't even imagine how she is feeling right now. And I pray that she knows that you see her, that you love her, that you are also with her, that you are right there with her as she goes through this and she walks through this. It is in your mighty name, Jesus, that I pray. Amen.
Good evening, Daily Audio Bible family. It's Soaring on Eagle's Wings from Canada. Abba, Father, at the start of this brand new year, here I am bringing three persons to you. There's a little 8-year-old girl called Lila who's had surgery now to remove a tumor that's on her brain. Her parents, Kelly and Tyler, are believers, but they're concerned, I'm sure, and so as is her uncle John. There's Michael, the atheist, who has recurrent lung cancer, waiting for treatment. He doesn't believe in you. And Janice from New Zealand is having chemo for cancer, which will last 12 weeks. Oh God Almighty, your Abba Father, the divine healer, I pray that you'd reach out and touch these groups of people. Open Michael's heart to recognize that you truly are God. And no matter what he thinks or says, you will remain God. And I pray, Father, as he goes through his recurrent treatment here, that he would meet face to face with our Lord Jesus Christ and know that you're caring for him, that you love him, and you will heal him. For Janice, 12 weeks of chemotherapy. Be with her and her family, Lord, as they go through this. It's not an easy thing, but I pray she will have no side effects from the chemo. And at the end of it all, she will have complete healing. And for little Lila and her family. Oh, Father God, she's had her surgery. Let this be non-malignant. Surround the whole family as they wait upon you to see what